He was standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, as it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. Make me full of gladness with your presence. This is the word of the Lord. Saved for joy, for the joy set before him, Christ endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. Have been saved for joy. This joy is given to you in Christ by the Spirit. In pouring out the Spirit upon the church, Christ has poured out his joy upon the church. This is why we may say that in our salvation, we are drawn into the life of the Trinity. For what is the life of the Trinity? The life of the Trinity may be found in the Son's being begotten of the Father, and in the Spirit's proceeding from the Father and the Son. If we may speak of the Son as the Word and wisdom of God, then we may speak of the Spirit as the love and joy of God. But this is what proceeds from the Father and the Son. Love and joy. The is the love that proceeds from the Father and the Son. It is joy that proceeds from the Father and the Son. The sending of the Spirit is the sending of love. It is the sending of joy. The Son with the Father has poured out his love and joy upon us. As the Spirit rests upon the church, love rests upon the church. Joy rests upon the church. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 10. We read there of the church, the ransomed of the Lord. And they come to Zion with singing. The everlasting joy is upon their heads. This is the promise of the Spirit. A promise that has been fulfilled. A promise that was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. As the Spirit of everlasting joy descended from heaven to rest upon the church. Spirit that proceeds from the Father and the Son now rests upon the church. The love that proceeds from the Father and the Son has now been given to the church. The joy that proceeds from the Father and the Son now fills the church. Have been saved for joy. Our joy is this. It is a joy so great that others should be amazed by it. That others should wonder to themselves, what world we might inhabit, that in the midst of so many sorrows, we should know such gladness. And while some may mock, let them mistake our joy for drunkenness. For the Lord has promised to us such delight that it can only be described in this world as mountains flowing with wine. This wine that flows upon the mountains is the Spirit that flows from the heart of Christ. Invites us to drink deep draughts from it. We may be filled by it. The more we drink, the greater our joy, the deeper our laugh, the richer our song. Here is a drink that cannot be exhausted, for it fills the Father and the Son without measure. Father and the Son were measureless. By your grace, it is given to us. This joy that fills the Father, that fills the Son, is given to us. The Spirit of everlasting joy rests upon us. Let it be a mark of the church. That our joy might be mistaken for drunkenness. I do not mean her barking like a madman, or that her actual drunkenness might be mistaken for joy. That her voice and worship might have the sound of those reveling at a feast whose cup overflows. By grace you have been saved. For joy you have been saved. In Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter invites those who were gathered around him to enter this joy. What they were witnessing and hearing was the fulfillment of prophecy, the fulfillment of a time that had been foretold long before. A time when everyone who called upon the name of the Lord would be saved. According to the Apostle Peter, time has come. A time is now. A pouring out of the Spirit upon the church. Spirit has been poured out upon all flesh, so that now everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. By grace they shall be saved. For joy they shall be saved. Remember that those who were gathered there were Jews. And not only were they Jews, they were devout. Acts chapter 2, verse 5. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Would these men have not already understood themselves to be those who call upon the name of the Lord? Is that not the very reason why they were gathered in Jerusalem? To call upon the Lord in his temple. Notice how Peter will interpret that name upon which we must call. The name of the Lord is also the name of Jesus, for Jesus is the Lord. Cannot call upon the Lord. If you do not call upon him, you cannot call upon the name of the Lord if you reject the name of Jesus. Verses 22 through 24, Peter proclaims the gospel of God. Not that there is a Christ, but that Jesus is the Christ. That Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ of God. How could that be good news? For Jesus was crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, even by the hands of those to whom Peter was speaking. But notice what he says in verse 23. This Jesus was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. It was God's purpose that Jesus should be crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. And not only in the sense that God knew beforehand what would come to pass, but that God himself had ordained what would come to pass. Why would he ordain the death of Jesus? Why would he ordain the death of the Christ? Why would he ordain the death of his Holy One? For this reason, that he might forgive his people of their sins. The death of Christ is no accident. It was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief, that he might become an offering for guilt. And so the world's greatest sorrow becomes its greatest joy. In verse 24, the Apostle Peter declares that joy. The joy that was set before Christ. The joy for which he endured the sufferings of the cross. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. The resurrection of Jesus is the joy of all the earth. By him, the pangs of death have been loosed forever. In hand, death has lost its victory. Death has lost its sting. This one who suffered death for us, it was not possible for him to be held by it. But why? Why was it not possible for him to be held by death? Because he is the righteous one. Because he alone was undeserving of death. So by his death, he has brought us life. What other name would we call upon but his? The one who suffered for us. The one who has been raised for us. The one who is the Son of God. The one who is the God of Israel. Concerning his name, there's much more to say, more than could ever be said. For now, let us consider again what this name brings us. As we call upon his name becomes ours. As we call upon his name, we ourselves are called by that name. Such that his name is found not only upon our lips, but is sealed upon the whole of our being. Whatever is true of him becomes true of us. And what is true of him? What is true of Jesus? Acts chapter 2, verses 25-28. The Apostle Peter tells us what is true of Christ. That he has been delivered from death and delivered to joy. And not just any joy. Fullness of truth. Verses 25-28, Peter quotes from the 16th Psalm. He demonstrates to us that the words of this psalm are the words of Christ. I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. How can these be the words of Christ? In the suffering of the cross was forsaken by the Lord. The suffering of the cross, his life was not preserved. Put to death. As we come to verse 27, then we understand. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor let your Holy One see corruption. Christ knew what lay beyond his suffering and death. He knew the Lord would not forsake him forever. He knew that the Lord would not abandon him in death or let his body see corruption. He knew that the Lord would raise him from the dead and make known to him, verse 28, the paths of life. These paths of life do not end on earth, but in heaven. These paths do not end in this world, but in the one to come. There's this life that has been made known to Christ. This life with God. What is this gladness that he has found? What is this joy with which he has been filled? Is the presence of God. The joy that he now knows is the joy of the Lord. The life that he now lives is the life of the Spirit. Was not this joy already his? Was not this life already his? Or is he not the eternal Son of God? Truly he is. But life and joy he knew according to his own nature. Now he also knows it according to ours. This is why he took to himself a likeness. And in our likeness, he might bring us this same joy at once. Life of the Spirit, and the joy of the Lord. By grace, you have been saved. For joy, you have been saved. It's true of him. Now it's true of us. What was true of him in this life? Suffering. Has not promised something different for you. But even in suffering, even in death, the words of Christ become your words. I saw the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My flesh dwells in him. Why is your heart glad? Why does your tongue rejoice? Why does your flesh dwell in hope? For you will not abandon my soul to death. But let your Holy One see corruption has made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. By grace, you have been saved. For surely you have been saved. Fullness of joy is the presence of the Lord. For this reason, the Spirit has been given, that you may know the joy of Christ. Let us call upon his name. We may be filled with the Spirit to know the fullness.